Good morning. Welcome once more to this rather cramped corner of my study. I'm hoping that this time next week, I'll be able to be speaking to you from inside St. John's. That is, if we can get the technology to work, if we can get the sound systems up and the lighting right, that would be great. That'd be a small step forward, I think. But for today, a very warm welcome to each and every one of you. Please don't forget to press the subscribe button on your YouTube page. That will mean that whenever we post something up that is new, you'll get a notification. But we're still in lockdown. And we're still living in what everybody is calling the new normal. And in this strange new normal that we're now living in, people are looking back at the old normal, the way we used to live ever before we went into lockdown. And people are saying, is the old normal, should that ever have been normal? Should we have lived that way? For example, people are saying, was it really sensible? Was it really wise to have our food supply chains, for example, so thinly stretched across the world that it seemed to be easier to shop in Hong Kong on the internet than it ever was to shop on your local high street? That was normal. But do we want to go back to that? Other people are saying, should it have ever been normal that our care homes were detached from the NHS? It's a good question. Should it ever have been normal that millions upon millions of people jumped onto trains or jumped into their cars to drive for half an hour to work in cramped offices only to discover that all that time, possibly, we might have been able to be working from home because of the technology? Other people are saying, is it or should it ever be normal that footballers were paid gazillions when nurses, on whom our lives might depend, are paid so little? And so what people are saying is, look, this is an opportunity because the coronavirus is asking us to review or think over all our assumptions. Michael McCalgo, a retired US Army officer, has been arguing for years that we need to upend all our assumptions about the world and about how it works. He calls it assumption reversal, which means what it says. What you do, he says, is you take a core notion about how the world works, your assumptions about it, and you turn them upside down. For example, it has always been assumed that to own a taxi company, you need to own cars. I mean, that's how you ran a taxi company. You bought cars and you ran them as taxis. That's what everybody thought. Until Uber came along, the biggest taxi company now in the world, and they don't own any cars. It used to be assumed that to run a restaurant, you need a menu. Restaurants have menus. That's what everybody assumes. Except I remember once going to a restaurant in Rome, and there was no menu because you just got fed the meal that the chef cooked that day, and that was it. There was no choice. I guess the idea was that the chef would get up early in the morning, go to the markets and find out what was freshest and best and cook with those ingredients. And so when you arrived in the restaurant, there was no menu. You just got fed what he gave you. Now, I say all this because in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," Jesus is asking us to reverse our assumptions. He's asking us to turn them upside down. He is saying, basically, in theological terms, he's saying, repent. Because in my kingdom, things are the other way around. In my kingdom, the way down is the way up. To be low is to be high. To have nothing is to possess everything. To give is to receive. To be poor is to repent, is to be rich. So repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, which is from above. The kingdoms of the world are from below. And so he says, you may think, living in the kingdoms of the world, the kingdoms from below, you may think that in my kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom from above, you may think that my kingdom is upside down and back to front, but I tell you the truth, says Jesus. In my kingdom, it's the right way up and the right way around. And he says, for example, in our text this morning, from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, he says, take meekness for an example. The kingdoms of this world generally do not demand meekness. For in the kingdoms of this world, the worlds from below, not from above, it is not the meek who gain the earth, rather it is the assertive, the violent, the aggressive, those who push and shove, those who cut and thrust. Pink Floyd agreed with Jesus. Pink Floyd once sang a song in which they said that those who ride the gravy train, those who go far and fly high, and those who are never going to die are those who try. In other words, who exert themselves, who strive and struggle and push and trample and shove. And that is why Jesus said that in the kingdoms of this world, men and women are in a constant state of anxiety and fear, because everyone is trying to gain the world, to earn the world, to stride across the world, to dominate the world. Now, I should say that this is true for clergy as it is for anyone else. You find this in the church as much as you do in the world. And the reason is that none of us can see around the corner, and because none of us know what is coming from one minute to the next, we are desperate to secure our position and our status in this world. And because we all want to know what we'll eat and what we'll drink and what we'll wear and what we'll be doing next week, next month, next year, we all try to control the future through our pension plans, our insurance policies, by having our children live nearby. And so the kingdoms of this world, says Jesus, are kingdoms of anxiety, where the overbearing flourish and the weak flounder. And it is this anxiety, I think, that keeps the shops open 24/7, 365 days of the year. It is this striving to gain the world that makes men and women overwork. It is this striving to gain the world that our motorways are always full and busy. But the tragedy is that no matter how hard we work and how hard we strive, we can never gain the world. We can never lay hold of it. Remember Fagin in Oliver Twist? He had, as it were, gained the world in inverted commas. He had ridden the gravy train and he had stashed away from Bill Sykes a fortune in pearls and diamonds, and he even possessed the crown of a king. But there came a time in Fagin's life when he had to do some assumption reversal. And so he said, I need to review the situation. I need to review what I value. I need to review what I'm living for. I need to review what I take for granted. Because as it is, when I'm old and cold, the only consolation I will have is the money that I've put by. That's going to be my only consolation. And then he says, but that's not enough. In this rotten life, he says, that is getting far too hot for me, he says, I need more. Of course, Fagin is right. And you see, this is why Jesus says here in Matthew 5, this is why Jesus is so full of compassion and wisdom. We're often told in the Bible that Jesus had compassion on men and women because they were lost. The tragedy is they didn't know they were lost. Nevertheless, Jesus would look at the crowds who followed him, and we're told that he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them because they did not understand the world in which they lived. He had compassion on them because they thought they could gain the world. They thought that because they thought the world was theirs and they could lay hold of it. To put it bluntly, they thought that the world in which they lived was their world, that it belonged to them, and that all they needed to do in order to go far and fly high and smoke a cigar was to grasp that world with both of their hands. But look at the astonishing thing that Jesus says here. This is assumption reversal. Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I think those words are just simply astonishing. Whoever said anything like that before? Because in these words, Jesus is turning our world upside down. He says, it's the meek who will be happy and blessed. And you have to ask the question, why is it that the meek are going to be happy and blessed? Well, they're going to be happy and blessed because they shall inherit the earth. Notice that. They shall inherit the earth. Now, this tells us something very profound about the earth, the world, the cosmos, both now and about the earth and the world and the cosmos that is yet to come. Because Jesus is saying, do you not realize that the blessings of this life and the blessings of this world to come are not something that you can gain? These are things that you inherit. These are things that are given to you. That's what happens with an inheritance. An inheritance, generally speaking, is not something that you can earn. Usually the only reason why you may receive an inheritance is because you happened to be born in a particular time and in a particular place and in a particular family, and these things are things that are utterly out of our control. These are not things that we can lay hold of. These are not things that we can clutch or grasp. And so Jesus is saying, look, this world and this earth and the new world and the new earth that is yet to come is only something that you can receive. It is only something that can be bequeathed to you. For in and of itself, this world is not your world. That's why ultimately we can't hold on to it. Now, surely that is one thing the coronavirus is teaching us. That overnight and out of the blue, everything that we have worked for over years can be lost. And so it is that Pascal once said that he spent the first half of his life trying to get things, and the second half of his life he spent trying to hold on to them. But he also came to the realization, like Fagin, that he couldn't. And so you may say to me, okay, I get it. So what must I do? Well, you see, here is where that word meekness comes in. For in order to lay hold of life, in order to lay hold of the kingdom of God, you need to come, I need to come as a supplicant. We need to come as many as men and women that have been emptied, that have nothing. And we need to come to the one who said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so we need to pray. This is how you enter the kingdom of heaven. And in that prayer, we need to acknowledge that we are helpless and powerless and unworthy to receive anything. That we're not able to gain the world. And even if we did gain the world, what would we have gained if in gaining the world we lost our immortal souls? What would be the advantage in that? In the words of a very, very old Christian prayer, we need to admit that we have no power of ourselves to save ourselves. We need to say, Lord, Lord, I admit that I can do nothing to gain this world. For this world is not my world. Neither can I do anything to gain the world to come, for that world is not my world either. So I pray, Heavenly Father, give me meekness. Forgive my pride. Forgive my sin. Subdue my pride, that most terrible of all things. That's the first thing. We need to recognize that this world is not ours, and that we can't gain it, and neither can we gain the eternal world to come. So we must reverse our assumptions and admit that. Now you may say to me, okay, but what evidence is there that if I come to Jesus Christ of Nazareth and I admit to him that the world, the earth, and the world to come is not mine, how can I be sure that he will give it to me? In closing, let me say this. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ had everything. The Apostle Paul tells us that in him, that's in Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. All things were created for him. This whole world was created for him. It's his world. John tells us all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And yet Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When Jesus said that, he was sitting on top of a mountain teaching. He was sitting on top of a mountain in Israel. In other words, he was in this world. And the only way out of this world for Jesus was through his death. For Jesus became one of us. And just as the only way that you and I will ever leave this world through death, so the same was true for him. But in coming into this world, Jesus lost everything. In humility and in meekness, he gave up all that was his. He gave up his glory. He gave up his crown. He wore a crown of thorns instead. He gave up his royal robe. It was stripped from him. He gave it all up. He lost it all. You say to me, why did he do that? He did that so he could give it to you. Because you and I had nothing. And he gave it all up so that you and I could be with him forever in the world to come. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He gave it all up so you could be with him in paradise. Later in Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I guess he's saying, come to me, all of you who realize that you cannot gain this world. And then he says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I am meek, he says, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I pray that you come to believe this. I pray that you come to understand this. I pray that you will inherit the kingdom of heaven as a gift that is given to those who are meek and come to Jesus Christ in faith, asking him to forgive them all their sins. Amen.